good afternoon. It's good to be here with y'all today. If you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, your paper Bibles is fine. It'll be up here on the screen if you can see it. I'll be reading it for us as well. But we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 11 today. And today's message is titled, Comfort for the Uncomfortable. Comfort for the Uncomfortable. And I'm going to start us off with a question. You can turn and talk to the person next to you if you would like. You can just think about it in your head. You can leave it in the comments. I feel like a YouTuber. But my question is, when you're going through a difficult time, what do you usually turn to for comfort? Okay, you're going through a difficult time. It's an ambiguous statement, but it's difficult. What do you usually turn to for comfort? So think about it for a couple seconds. You turn to your neighbor to share if you have your mask on. All right, nobody's sharing. They just think about it in their head. Okay, that's cool. That's good. That's good. That's fine. You're still thinking. Okay. Want to share what they turn to for comfort?
French toast.
Nice. Nice. Anything else? Music. That's good. People. Definitely. Did someone say something? Reorganizing your drawers. Yeah, it's good. It's a great way to relieve comfort. Yeah, I asked this question because I think this question is an important question for us to consider. You know, what do we turn to for comfort? Especially in our generation. I think our generation, in some ways, we are obsessed with comfort. Right? We're the generation of the heat warmers in our car, if we're lucky. We got heat warmers on our steering wheels now, if you're lucky. You know, we're the generation of like pumping the AC, wireless devices, so you don't even have to get up anymore. You know, I think this question, this quest for comfort is often found in many of our lives. But the problem is, and I think most of us will attest to this, is that even those things that bring us comfort, oftentimes it's limited, oftentimes it's temporary, oftentimes it doesn't actually comfort us deep enough to give us the strength we need to face the difficulties we're going through. And that's why today's message, we're going to dig into this idea of comfort, the comfort that God provides. And so we're going to dig into this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 11, to see how it is that God provides comfort for us. So you can join me. I'll start from verse 3. We'll go to verse 11. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Woo, this is a long passage. Hopefully you are following along through it. We're going to dig into it together. Join me as we continue on in prayer, as we continue on in this message. Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather today. We thank you for the health, God, that you provide for us day to day. I thank you for the community that you've given us. Lord, we believe, God, that you want to meet us and speak to us today. And so we ask that even as we look into your word, God, you would illuminate it for us, and that you would open our hearts, God, to receive from you. Lord, we pray that you would indeed encourage us and challenge us as we look through your word. Lord, that you would refine us and lead us. And Lord, that even as we spend time praying and worshiping, Lord, seeking after you, God, that you would fill us up, Lord, and strengthen us for this life that you have called us to live. So we thank you. We look to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first thing we see as we look into this passage is that God comforts us in our difficulties. God comforts us in our difficulties. Now, when we look at verse 3 and 4, it says, Paul is talking about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Right here, Paul goes out of his way to let us know that God is a God who comforts us in all the afflictions that we face. Any and all the afflictions that we face. And I think that's important because, you know, that means that whatever Paul is talking about here applies to all the difficulties, all the pressures, all the challenges that we face in life. Right? The everyday normal life afflictions, everyday normal life difficulties that we face, such as the loss of a loved one, such as the difficulty of facing your inability, your inadequacy, the difficulties of facing just our failures, right? The ways we have let ourselves down, the ways we have let others down, the ways people might persecute us for or look down on us for our social status, for our gender, for our race and ethnicity. Any and all of these afflictions is included in the comfort that Paul is talking about here. However, as we look at the passage, even though this is a God who comforts us in all of our affliction, we see that there is a focus. And the focus that Paul has is not just on all affliction and all difficulty, all discomfort, but he focuses on the fact that we will face godly discomfort. Okay, so as we go through the passage, I hope you keep that in your mind. Okay, this applies to all the affliction, all the difficulties I face. But also specifically, Paul wants to talk about the godly discomforts that we will face as people who follow Christ. Right, we see that in verse 5 and verse 7. Paul says, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. Later in verse 7 he says, for we know that as you share in our sufferings. What Paul is talking about here is that he's pointing out that those of us who believe in Jesus, those of us who are following Christ, if we are really following Christ in our lives, if we are really united to Jesus, then we will also share some of the suffering of Jesus. Now, to be clear, this is not like the suffering that Jesus experienced on the cross. Right? We cannot experience that same kind of, you know, being crucified on a cross so that other people can be forgiven. He's not talking about that kind of suffering. But what Paul is saying is that if you follow Christ, and if you seek to be like him, to love him, and to obey him, then surely you will suffer in some ways like he did. Because when we look at Jesus' life, we see that he suffered as he sought to obey God in his life. I think for any of us who have been serious about our faith and following God, we know that there is some suffering and difficulty that comes from trying to obey God. You know, and Jesus, I mean, this is what I like about the Bible. It gives it to you straight up. It doesn't sugarcoat it. It's not in the fine print that you will experience suffering. But Jesus comes out and tells you, right? In John 11:20, it says, "Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." Now, Jesus is very clear. Hey, if I lived this life and people were persecuting me and I'm the perfect son of God, that means if you're following me, you're also going to experience some level of suffering, difficulty, persecution. Right? He says it similarly, even in Matthew 16:24-25 that we're familiar with. Right? Jesus tells his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Right? If we are living a life where we are giving up our life to follow Christ, if we are living a life where we are daily denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus, surely we're going to face some difficulties, some discomforts, some afflictions and challenges because we are Christian. Like, one way to think about it is like this. As we live life, right, there are challenges and difficulties that we all face. But depending on what career choice you make, there may be some additional difficulties and discomforts that you may face. Do you know what I'm saying? Right? Like, we all face, you know, similar difficulties in our life, but if you're like a fireman, right, there's some occupational hazards that come with being a fireman or a firefighter, right? There may be occupational hazards that come. I heard recently even garbage men, right? There is it's a high likelihood that you could experience injury on the job because you may be hit by another car. Right? There are occupational hazards that come with specific jobs that we choose. And specifically, even now, many of us know, like, we have seen all the more clearly as people are healthcare providers, there are these other occupational hazards that they have, right? As they're dealing with people with COVID, dealing with people who are sick. And in a similar way, Paul is pointing out, yo, if you're following Christ, you're going to experience some sufferings in your life that you may not have experienced otherwise if you were not following him. Right? But if you're following him as you share in his sufferings, you're going to experience some of these afflictions and difficulties. And Paul himself, later on, he gives a specific example of that in verses 8 and 9. He says, "We don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." Later on, he goes to call it a deadly peril. He's saying, man, as I was following Christ, as I was going and planting churches and being this missionary, as I was living for God in his kingdom, there was a time when we were in Asia, it was so bad, we thought we were going to die. That's how difficult it was. That's one of the occupational hazards I experienced as I was following Christ. And as I've mentioned, I mean, even last week I talked about how many of us here are personally acquainted with some of those difficulties, with some of those sacrifices, with some of those afflictions and trials we experienced, particularly because we were following Christ. Some of us have been taken advantage of because of our kindness and our generosity and our forgiveness as we try to emulate Christ. Some of us have been robbed or wronged or threatened as we're here trying to love on people, opening up our homes and our lives to people. We've experienced some of these afflictions and difficulties that we would not have experienced otherwise. Many of us, right, even as we try to manage our calendars, manage our finances, the sacrifices and commitments we have, because we choose to live a life that is building up God's kingdom. And this is why when we talk about it, oftentimes I say, if you're going to be a part of our church, you're going to be uncomfortable. Why? Because as we choose to follow Christ, there are some of these godly discomforts that we will face. I don't want us to be unaware about it, right? I don't want us to be caught off guard about it. I don't want you to come back later and you'd be like, you never told me. And so similarly, Paul, as he starts off, he shares that there are these godly discomforts that we will face. But it doesn't end there. Right? It doesn't end in just the fact that we have these godly discomforts. But the whole point of this passage is that as we face godly discomforts, we also share in godly comfort. Right? We will experience our share of godly discomforts. Discomforts come from following God. But we will also share in comfort that comes from God as we follow Him. Okay, read verse 3 and 4 again. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction." Later in verse 5 he says, "For we, as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." Now Paul's point is just the same way as you experience discomfort as you follow Christ, that there is also a godly comfort that comes from following Christ. Now he doesn't talk about it specifically in this passage, but I'm going to give us three ways that God provides comfort to us. Three ways plus one. So really four ways. But you know what I'm saying. You'll see what we're talking about. First way that God provides comfort for us is through his peace. He gives us peace. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus is telling his disciples that yes, you're going to face difficulty in the world, right? Everyone faces difficulty in the world. You're going to face more difficulty because you are my followers, but don't lose heart, because in me you will have peace. We've talked about that word before, that shalom, that idea of wholeness. You will have wholeness as you know me. So yes, you may face trials and difficulties, but you will experience wholeness in your life as you follow me. Paul says it in Philippians. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Saying as we pray, as we turn to God with our petitions, our pleas, as we turn to Him in our prayers, that there is a peace of God that goes beyond just our understanding that we receive in God. And so one way he comforts us is by providing us with this peace of God. Another way that he provides us with comfort is with his power. As we face difficulties and trials and afflictions in our lives, he empowers us. He enables us to stand firm. He enables us to go through those trials, to persevere. And Paul testifies about it in Philippians. He says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." And he says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." God comforts us not only by giving us his peace, but God comforts us by giving us his power to strengthen us so that we can face the difficult, challenging situations of our lives. And lastly, he gives us his presence. In Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Similarly, in Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so we see God promises to give us his presence. Right? God promises it in the Old Testament, and he shows up in the Old Testament in the cloud of pillar and cloud of fire in a tangible way. Jesus says it in the New Testament that he will be with us, giving us his presence. And we see that we experience his presence through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And so in these three ways, God provides us with his comfort, with his peace, with his power, and with his presence. And so Paul says, yes, you will face discomfort in your life. You will face afflictions and trials and difficulties. You will face them even more because you're following Jesus. But you will also experience this godly comfort. And what I love about this is that so many of us are used to comfort that is shallow. We're used to comfort that is shallow. Like me, how do I respond? What do I turn to for comfort? Food. You know, I think many of you guys already know I like food, right? But this is the problem with comfort food. The problem with comfort food is that in less than 24 hours, you will digest it and it will come out of here as poop. And it's not comforting no more. The comfort that it provides is very temporary. Many of the things that we look to for comfort, the problem is that the comfort it provides is so temporary. In that moment, it may comfort you. In that moment, it may help you forget the difficulty you're going through. Whether it's drinking, whether it's video games, whether it's having fun, all of those things, none of those things are inherently so bad. But the problem is they're so temporary. And it's only during that time do you experience a brief comfort. The kind of comfort I hate even more is when people just tell you, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to turn out okay. You know, people will say that to me before you take a test, before you have an interview. They go, oh, you'll be fine. You'll do great. And I'm like, how do you know that? Like, I didn't study for this test. How are you going to tell me it's going to be great? It's baseless. It's baseless, shallow comfort. It feels nice when somebody says it. You know, because like, oh, I know they care about me. I know they're on my side. But the comfort people often try to provide for each other is so shallow. There's no foundation for it. And so when you say, oh, everything's going to turn out all right, and then you look at your life, and you look at the lives of people around you, and it didn't turn out all right. We have friends. We might be the friends who fail our tests, or don't get the interview, or have ruined some areas of our lives. Right? When people just say it's going to be all right, there's no foundation for that. There's no guarantee that that's true. But here, when Paul says we have comfort from God, that's a comfort that is grounded in a person that has infinite power. It's grounded in a person that has love for you. It's grounded in a person who knows what's going on. And so when we say we can have the peace of God, or the power of God, or the presence of God, I mean, these are substantial ways that God provides us with real comfort that goes beyond just that moment. Because we know that there is this God that is great, who cares about you, who's able to work in your life, and who knows what's going on. And so Paul says we can experience this kind of godly comfort in him. And I think the challenge for us today, the question for us today, is when we take a step back, when you're just in your room by yourself, is like, how do you view God? When you think about God in your life, how do you view him? Because I think for many of us, even though we read things like this, the reality is we think God really is just this cruel taskmaster who just tells us what to do, and he just wants you to get the job done. Some of us, we think about God and we think of him as some sort of aloof, some far away person who just, I mean, he might give you what you need, but he doesn't really care about you. And I think many of us know this about ourselves. Oftentimes, how we really feel about God is oftentimes rooted in how we really have experienced our parents or other authority figures in our lives. And so if you had a mom or dad who was just overbearing and all they did was tell you to do stuff, and they got angry when you didn't do stuff, and then they were okay when you did stuff, then you often end up viewing God that way. Right? If you have parents who provided materials for you but didn't provide for you emotionally, you view God that way. And when many of us, when we think about God, I don't think many of us view God the way that Paul presents him here. In verse 3, when he says, This is God, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. For many of us, it's easy to read a passage like this, but to still think of God as this cruel taskmaster, to think of him as this out there person who doesn't really care about you. But Paul is saying, no, this is a God who cares about you, who is here and comforts you. And I think that's important because, to be frank, one of my concerns is, even last week, if y'all remember last week, I talked about how we cannot settle for bandages. We cannot settle for excuses. And my worry is, when I say things like that, some of us interpret it to mean, man, God doesn't care about me. God just wants me to do it. He doesn't want my excuses. He just wants me to do it. Right? I worry that we internalize this view of God that is harsh and mean and uncaring. But even last week, when we're talking about why we cannot settle for excuses, is because even excuses, at the end of the day, one, they expose what you really care about. And two, the excuses we make are never actually going to be able. Woo! Watch that leg. Sorry. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Liz. But even the excuses that we make, they expose the idols that we trust in. And ultimately, those idols do not satisfy the deep longings that you have. I'm gonna just wait for this 1 second. Yeah. Maybe God wants y'all to dwell on that. Think about it for a second. God is a God of all comfort. Amen. And so I think there's this challenge. What would it look like for you starting today, starting tomorrow, when you think about the God who is over your life, to be able to view him as a God who provides comfort, as a God who is merciful, as a God who wants you to know his peace, his power, and his presence. And so Paul talks about how God comforts us in our difficulty. And the second point, which we're going to close out the message with, is that not only does he provide comfort for us through these difficulties, but that we also see that God brings us through difficulties for a reason. God brings us through difficulties for a reason. This itself is a reason that we can have comfort, is to know that there is a reason and a purpose for the things that we are going through in our lives. The first thing we see in this passage is that there is a purpose to our pain. There's a purpose to our pain. Paul breaks it out in these two different ways. In verse 6, he says, if we are afflicted, if we're under pressure, if we're experiencing these difficulties, it is for your comfort and salvation. That's what he says in verse 6. And then in verse 9, he says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And here we see Paul gives us two purposes for our pain. The first purpose is for the comfort and salvation of others. The comfort and salvation of others. Let's unpack this for a second. Paul is saying, yo, I experienced all these difficulties. I experienced this pain and suffering and persecution. Why? So that I could go and share the gospel and people could be saved. I experienced this stuff so that you could be saved and you could know comfort and you could know salvation. You know, ask any parent with a newborn child, baby child, not even a baby child, just any child for real. Ask them why they don't get sleep at night. Ask them why they're stressed out and tired. Ask them why they don't have money for fun stuff. It's because they're willing to sacrifice and do that, go through that suffering and affliction for the sake of the child. Right? Yeah, you could sleep through the night, but the baby's going to starve. So you wake up, you feed the baby, right? You go through that affliction of sleeplessness and tiredness. Why? So that the baby can be comforted, so that the baby can do well. Right? Or you sacrifice, and instead of having money that you could buy PS5 that's coming out this fall, right? Instead of buying the nice new car that you could buy, you spending all that money on what? Diapers. Why? Because the baby poops. He needs diapers. You know what I'm saying? You're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to go through suffering. You're willing to go through these challenges. Why? For the benefit of other people. And that's what Paul is saying, is that some of the persecution we experience is for the sake of us as we do ministry, for the sake of other people, the hope that they will know Jesus one day. You will sacrifice and you will experience difficulty as people who follow Christ. Paul says it in Galatians. He says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And I know many of us are here, specifically here, stayed in Detroit or moved to Detroit because we wanted to see people come to know Jesus in Detroit. Not like the cultural Christianity, like you went to your grandma's church and you, but really know Jesus. Right? We wanted people to say, no, we really want people to encounter the power of God transforming their lives. And that's why some of us are experiencing the difficulties we experience now. That's what Paul's talking about. One reason that this pain, this difficulty is here, it's because we're willing to do that for the sake of others. The second reason he gives us, the second purpose to our pain, is for the growth and recalibration of our faith. In verse 9, he said, we felt like we had received the sentence of death. We felt like we were going to die. Why? So that it would make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Paul is saying, man, we experience this hardship, this pain, this difficulty. For what purpose? So that God will remind us not to rely on ourselves, but to rely on Him. Can I say this? Some of us are experiencing, or have experienced, or will experience difficulty and pain because you're relying on someone else besides God. We experience it when we rely overly too much on other people. You expect someone else, other people, to do all the things that you desire of them, but they're going to let you down in one way, shape, or form. We also experience pain when we rely on ourselves, because we quickly find out we are not enough to do all the things that we wanted to do. I'm not saying we should not try hard. We should try hard. We should be the hardest trying people, trying to be as faithful and as diligent with our responsibilities as we can. We should push ourselves beyond our comforts and our limits. We should do that for one another. But at the end of the day, you are not sufficient, nor are other people sufficient for all the things you need in your life. And so Paul says, we went through that pain so God could remind us that we need to rely on Him who is infinite, who is powerful, rather than relying on ourselves. So he gives us those two reasons for the pain that we experience. James confirms it and supports it in James chapter 1. He says, count it all joy, brothers, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So James is also saying the trials, the difficulties we face, they're there so that our faith can grow, that our faith can be refined. Lastly, in Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Whenever we're facing serious difficulty or pain in our lives, it may be God's way of reminding you to rely on Him, not on yourself or anybody else. Whenever we're going through difficulty and pain in our life, it may be God's way of humbling you and refining you so you can become more like Christ. And I know some of us don't want to hear that. I know some of us don't want to hear that. But that is one of the main methods God uses to prune us, to shape us, to grow us, to refine us. And many of us, when do we find ourselves growing closer to God? It's not during those happy-go-lucky times. It's not during the time when you got the bonus and you got the promotion and you got all the good things going on. When we look at our lives, so many of us, we grow in our relationship with God when we were growing through those trials, those difficult times that exposed us and challenged us and showed us that we needed something greater than ourselves. And that's not just for Christ followers. I mean, all of these things ultimately God uses for His glory. Right? The difficulties and pain the world goes through, it is a challenge and a reminder to them to turn back to God. And so He gives us this pain, or He gives us this purpose for our pain. I think knowing the purpose to our pain in and of itself is another comfort for us. Because I think if we look at ourselves and if we're a little bit insightful, it's not pain that most of us have a problem with. It's not discomfort that most of us have a problem with. It's purposeless pain. It's purposeless discomfort that we have a problem with. Right, some of us have studied for hours every day for 12 to 20 years, putting yourself through sadistic, painful, educational torture. Why? Because you're hoping that there's a purpose at the end of it. That you can get the job that you want, do the things that you want, get the money you desire. Some of us, we go to the gym, well, not right now because the gyms are closed, but you know, some of us, we watch what we eat and we work out every day. We put yourself, you deny yourself of that beautiful, delicious Oreo McFlurry. Why? Because you got a purpose to it, right? Because you trying to be jacked, you're trying to look good, right? Is that just me, right? Like, we put ourselves through pain. We're okay with that. We do the push-ups. We do all those things. Why? Because there's a purpose to it. And so even knowing that there's a purpose to the discomfort we're going through, that in and of itself is a comfort. And so we see here that there's a purpose to our pain. And lastly, we see that there's a purpose to our comfort. There's not only a purpose to our pain, but a purpose to our comfort. Verse 4, he says, there's this God who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In verse 6, he says, if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. All the comfort Paul is talking about in this passage, God's peace, God's power, God's presence, God's purpose, all of these things of His comfort, it's not just for you. It's not just for you. Can I say this? Some of us at the end of the day are really, really self-centered. You think God exists just to make your life better. You think God exists at the end of the day just to make your life better. If we're honest with ourselves, I think some of us, we would see that. And if God gave us a comfort that only is good for you and your situation, it would end up being a very you-centered comfort, right? All of the things God is doing is just for the sake of your comfort. That's how we actually oftentimes think about things. And if you think about what that means, is that you are putting yourself at the center of the universe. And you think even the comfort that God provides is just about you, so that you might not have to feel discomfort. But Paul is saying, no. The comfort that God provides has a greater purpose than just your comfort. Yes, it is a deep, significant, satisfying comfort for you. Yeah, that's good. But it's not just for you. Right? That God's comfort for you is so that you can now also join in with Him in providing comfort for other people. That as you experience the strengthening, the peace, the power of God's comfort, you can now go encourage someone else who is going through a difficult time. You can now go to someone else who is going through their own affliction and pain, and you can help them experience comfort. So that ultimately, as people experience this comfort from God, we can come back and turn and praise Him and glorify Him and acknowledge His comfort is better than any other earthly temporary comfort you could have. And we got to remember that, because comfort is not, it's not just supposed to end with you. It's not just supposed to end with you in your nice car with your heat warmer and heated steering wheel, you in your nice house with your air conditioner and gourmet bougie Whole Foods food. It's not supposed to just end with you like that. But as we experience comfort in the reality and the difficulties and the challenges and pains of life, we're able to share that with other people so that they can experience comfort from God. So that all of us, we can then look to God and say, you know what, God? You really are that good. You really are this Father of mercies, this God of all comfort. There really is no one like you out there. That's why the whole thing, if you actually read this passage, Paul says, blessed be this God. It's a praise. It's a thanksgiving prayer. He's saying, blessed be God, who is this comforting to us. That's why the one thing for today is that God's comfort enables us to live faithfully with hope. God's comfort enables us to live faithfully with hope. I say live faithfully because we realize it's not just about us. God's comfort, knowing His peace, His power, His presence, and His purpose, it enables us to live a life of seeking His kingdom, even with all the difficulties that it brings, with the hope, knowing that there is a God who is committed to us and who is for us. At the end of the day, we have this assurance that our pain and the difficulties that we go through, we know, we can know it has a purpose when we look at Jesus' life. Right? We got Jesus is the perfect dude. Here we got the Son of God living a perfect life, did nothing to deserve suffering, pain. He didn't do nothing to deserve that persecution. He was perfect. But yet he experiences suffering as he obeys God. Ultimately, he experiences affliction as he's on the cross, right? But all of that was for a purpose. The suffering and affliction Jesus experiences is for a purpose. Why? So that we could experience comfort. So that we could experience forgiveness and hope. And so in Christ, we know, man, suffering and difficulty is bad. But God will comfort us in the midst of it, and that He will put a purpose on it. And so we look at Jesus and we see, yes, through Jesus we see suffering and pain has a purpose, and we see that His affliction gives us the comfort that we need. And in Jesus we have, you know, even this promise, Matthew chapter 5 verse 4, as Jesus is teaching the crowds. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, for us, we have this assurance that we will be comforted by God Himself. And I mean, I don't know about you, I look forward to it. That one day when this life ends, we will be comforted for the rest of eternity. Like comfort. Like eternal comfort. Like no tears in your eyes, in your heart, ever comfort. But until we experience that perfect, eternal comfort, even now we have assurance of this comfort that God gives us. In John 14, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Even as we wait for this perfect comfort of God that we will experience in heaven, we can experience some of that comfort now, the Holy Spirit that is in us, who helps us to know God's presence, who helps us to know God's power, who helps us to know God's peace. And I felt like we had to talk about this today, because it's so easy to go through life, or even Christian life, feeling so discouraged. Only focus on the part that we're going to be uncomfortable. Only focusing on the part that there's these godly discomforts. But I really, we have to know that, yes, it's uncomfortable being Christian, for sure. But there's a greater comfort that enables it, right? There's a greater comfort that we can rely on day to day, not just for the godly discomforts, but all discomforts that we face. And so as we close out, how do we respond to this? First thing, sounds simple, pretty direct, is to turn to God for comfort. Turn to God for comfort. It doesn't mean you can't turn to food anymore. It doesn't mean you can't turn to whatever else you were turning to. I'm still going to eat my delicious McFlurry when I need a boost. Right? But ultimately, we have to turn to God for comfort. Jesus invites us to it. Jesus invites us. Matthew 11, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the first thing we can do, is turn to God for comfort. I don't know if some of us, I don't think we've ever turned to God for comfort. Like, you might have turned to God because you needed something. But I don't know if we've ever turned to God for comfort. I want to challenge some of us. When we have that difficult day, when you experience that pain and suffering, challenge, what would it look like for you to turn to God in that moment? You're like, "God, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. Like, I'm trying to be in this transcultural church, learning to love people from different backgrounds, and it's hard, God. Everybody showing up late all the time is hard, God. Nobody being direct when they're talking to me is hard, God." Right? Or like, no, I'm just saying, like, there's difficult. We talked about this, right? There's difficult. In the midst of that, what would it look like? "God, I need, help me. Give me your peace, your power, your perspective in this time." Some of us, we look at our bank accounts. Again, this might just be me, right? We look at our bank accounts, we're like, "Man, we could have had some extra zeros in here if we went a different route. But here I am, right? Tithing my money, sacrificing money so that people can have crackers and juice and water. Right? Here we are." We look at those moments, we're feeling, "Man, like, there is this difficulty. How am I going to pay the bills and still be faithful in worshiping God in my finances?" And turn to God for comfort in those times. Or there's challenges. Now, this happens to me. I don't know if it happens to you. It happens to me. People ask me, like, "Hey, what do you do?" I say, "I'm a pastor." Immediately, conversation stops. No one wants to talk to me no more. I'm like, "This sucks. What the heck? I'm a nice guy." Right? But maybe at your workplace, right, you're socially a little bit outcast. Or in school, you're socially outcast because you're Christian. What does it look like for you to turn to God for comfort as you face those pains and difficulties? Secondly, praise God for his comfort. Now that's messed up, right? You turn to God for comfort, he comforts you, and you don't even say thank you. That's messed up. Okay? And I know many of us have experienced comfort from God. I think it's just right. It's right that we give him praise back, acknowledge it. And let me tell you, as you praise him and as you thank him and acknowledge it, actually it helps us too. It reminds us, "Oh yeah. Oh yeah, God is a good God. Oh, he did comfort me in that time. I was tired, but he was my strength." Right? So often we ask, we like spoiled children. You ask for it, you got it, and you forget the person who gave it to you. That's how we are. But here, Paul's like, "Blessed be God. Blessed be this God who is merciful to us." I think for us, we benefit a lot with that heart of gratitude and remembering who God is as we praise him for the comfort he provides. And then lastly, is to share God's comfort with someone else. Share God's comfort with someone else. You know, I know it's been a hard season for many of us. It's been tiring. It's been challenging for many reasons in our lives, even the past couple months. And I mean, let me tell you, like, people are in need of comfort right now. You know, I mean, we are in need of comfort. That's why we're doing a sermon. But people around you, you have friends, you have family members, you have coworkers. I'll never forget one time, my coworker, she was kind of like the admin person for our department, and she just looked so sad. I didn't know what happened. And then eventually people, they passed this card around. We're signing it because her mother had passed away. And man, I don't know why, but I was in my office and it just hit me like, man, if my mom passed away, I would be so distraught. You know, like, I love my mom. Like, dang. So I just went to her. I was like, hey, Cheryl, I heard about this happen. Like, would it be okay if I just like pray for you? You want to talk about it? And I remember this old lady, like, I just pray. Just think about 24-year-old me. Even less mature, even less, you know what I'm saying? I'm just praying for this lady who's like twice my age. I'm just praying for her. I remember tears in her eyes and tears in my eyes. It's just a small way that I can share God's comfort with her, right? And there's many small ways like that. You don't always have to be like that. You don't always have to hold hands and pray for people. But there are other ways that we can share God's comfort with the people in our lives. Because many of our loved ones right now are in need of that comfort. We may have, many of us have coworkers and friends who have lost family members because of COVID. You know, or people who are just really facing a crisis, even with all this stuff with the racial tension that's going on. I feel so angry or so hurt. We could be there to provide some of God's comfort for them. So I want to challenge us, as we experience God's comfort in our lives, let's not let it stop there. But even as we enjoy it, even as we thank God for it, let's also go and share that with the people who are around us. So with that, I'm going to head into a time of response.